Yeah, so there are a lot of people quitting. There are people quitting police forces. There are people quitting corporations. A lot of quitting, and it's a very sad thing. But, you know, there are some people that quit their jobs for various reasons. One guy said, I had to quit my job as a treadmill tester because I just felt I wasn't getting anywhere. Another guy said, I recently quit my job at a wind farm. Turns out I'm not a big fan. Another guy said, I quit my job as a postman when they handed me the first letter to deliver. I looked at it and I thought, this isn't for me. Well, our scriptures today...
Moving on.
Our scripture today talks about something that we should never quit. And that is that we should never quit walking right and serving the Lord. Amen? 2 Peter chapter 2, we're still there. Verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18 says, For when they, speaking of false prophets and false teachers, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have, listen to this, for if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the latter end is worse than for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let's pray. Father God, in fact, say this with me. Father God, speak to my heart today. Help me to listen. Don't let me be worried about everybody else. Help me to focus on myself today. Thank you that you still speak and that you'll speak to me. Amen. Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So we have been going through the second and first epistles of Peter for several months now. And these are truly epistles or letters that can prepare us for the times that we live in, which I believe are the end times. And one of the marks of the end times, according to Jesus, was that there would be a proliferation of false prophets and teachers. And that's what we're seeing today. It's interesting that John was telling me today that he was in a series of evangelistic meetings. And guess what the text of this evangelist was for the series of meetings every night? First and Second Peter. And so it's really, I believe, it's something the Lord is wanting to say to us and that we need to hear what is being said. And we spent a lot of time looking at how to identify a false prophet or a false teacher. And the scriptures spend a lot of time on that topic. We spent at least three sermons on it already. But we need to do that because if the Bible spends a lot of time on something, we need to spend a lot of time on something. Amen? So that's what we've been doing. And the topic continues today. And the Apostle Peter spends quite a bit of time on one more defining mark of a false prophet or a false teacher. And so we're only going to focus on one thing today. And that is that false teachers, false prophets, they fall away from the true faith and they teach others to do that as well. And the consequences are frightening. In fact, it is terrifying. The Bible said it is better to never get saved than to get saved, follow Christ, and then turn away from the true faith. It's worse to fall away from the faith. one of the sad things that I found when I came here to Port Huron, and it's true all over the nation, but I found it especially here, is how many people there are, you know, hundreds, if not thousands and thousands across the nation that have turned away from the faith and are no longer following Jesus and are no longer attending church. So many people I ran into, and then they find out who I am. Oh, I used to go to that church. Oh, I got baptized in that church. Oh, I was in Royal Rangers. Oh, my parents got married in that church. I mean, I'm running into people everywhere around this town. Oh, so where are you going now? Nowhere. 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 And that's a dangerous place to be. Because when you fall away from the faith, after having received it at one point, terrifying things lie ahead. And somebody needs to say this. And if I'm talking to anybody here, your ears need to listen. And if I'm talking to anybody online, you've quit church, you've quit God, you once served God, but you turned away from Him, you need to get back now. Because it is worse for you, it will be worse for you, who have turned away from Christ than those that have never come to Christ. And so, you know, there's so many people, well, but I can't quit doing this, or I can't quit doing that, and I give up. Well, give up on giving up. Okay? Quit quitting. And quit running away from God. Run to God. Are you struggling with something? Are you dealing with addiction, as Jessica talked about it? Run to God. Don't run away from Him. Are you struggling with sin? In fact, I'm calling all backsliders to backslide from their backsliding. And that's the title of my message today. Backslide from your backsliding. Don't ever backslide, those of you who are with the Lord right now. Now, Peter's talking about all of this in the context of false prophets and teachers. And this is because many false prophets and teachers started out right. There are many who have felt the call of God, and they began to pursue that calling. And they may have become pastors or evangelists or teachers or prophets or apostles, missionaries, etc. But somewhere along the way, corruption entered in. And a lot of times it's because while they're ministering to everybody else and taking care of everybody else's needs and taking care of everything else, they're not staying close to the Lord themselves and are consequently falling away from the Lord because they're not keeping their connection with God strong. It's tough to be a pastor. And if you aren't close to the Lord, you're not going to make it. And pastors are dropping like flies right now and have in the past year especially. There was one guy, it was Sunday morning, and he was sleeping in, and his alarm went off, he turned it off. And anyway, his mom comes in the room and starts shaking him and said, "Get up! Why? You got to get to church. Get up, it's Sunday. Get up." He just rolls over. She shakes him some more. "You need to get up. You need to go to church. Get to church. Get dressed." And he's like, "I want to go to church." And the mom's like, "Why not? Why don't you want to go to church?" And he's like, "The people are really mean. And they're always asking me to do something. I'm not going to church." And the mom says, "You have to." So why? "Because you're the pastor." Let me tell you something about your pastor. I may not be the guy that does everything, that makes phone calls all day long and visits all day long and fixes the plumbing and sweeps the floor and all that stuff all the time. Because if I did all that, I would go insane. But I'm thankful for those of you that step up and help out around the church in whatever way you do. I will tell you this. I pray and I read the Word. And that's the most important thing. Because if I'm not connected to Jesus, I got nothing to give to you. And you're not going to get anything. I need to spend time with God, and I need to spend a lot of time with Him, me personally. Because I've been through a lot, and that requires me to spend a lot of time with God. I really have to spend a lot of time with Him. But ministry can destroy a person, and it can do things to you, cause you to fall into corruption if you don't take care of yourself. And a lot of people just plain quit, or they fall into false doctrine and false teaching. And sadly, those who follow them will also fall into that false doctrine, corruption, quitting, etc. Last week, I talked about James Robison, the well-known evangelist, and how he was so close to the Lord and had such a fiery relationship with Jesus. And as a result, his ministry was so powerful, and he was requested everywhere, and he was preaching all over the world, traveling and flying everywhere, and sometimes preaching 2-3 times a day because of his popularity and the demand. But being so busy ministering, he stopped having his precious times with the Lord and his personal times with the Lord. And pretty soon, temptations started coming in front of him. And he began to yield to those temptations because although he's ministering to everybody else, he himself was falling away from the Lord. And so, thankfully, he caught it before it was too late. But there are a lot of ministers that, instead of catching themselves and turning, instead of repenting from their sins, they are embracing them, and instead they're justifying their sinful behavior. They make up new doctrines to justify their behavior, and then they fall into greater sin, greater error, more and more, and they lose all their integrity. They're desperate. They become desperate for money. They become desperate for attention. They become desperate for affection and all these things because they have a big hole in their heart that they no longer fill with Jesus. And the sad thing is they lead a lot of people along with them when they do that. Well, Peter makes it very clear, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, and that's what happens when you don't have Jesus, it's just emptiness, but they're great swelling words. Oh man, they can impress you with their words and their prophecies, and now they were with God and had a vision and they were standing in Jesus' presence, making it all up. I'm not saying everybody that says that, but there are those that do. But when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. So they're promising liberty, and they're actually, because of their own lewdness and greed and lust, they are permitting, in a sense, their followers to practice those same things, promising them liberty. One of the prominent false doctrines being preached today is this hyper-grace, known as the hyper-grace message, hyper-grace movement, where preachers are giving permission for Christians to live sinful lifestyles because God is gracious. Well, God is also righteous. And God is also a God of justice. And He made clear in His Word what is expected of us as believers. And the Bible says, "Be ye holy." In fact, Peter quoted it. "Be ye holy, for I am holy," says the Lord. That's what God wants from us. And the preaching against sin is almost non-existent anymore. Now, we humans, we all struggle. We're weak. We're weak in our humanity. We deal with bad habits and bondages. And we fail and we fall, even as Christians. But the answer is not to justify that failure, which is where the real danger comes in. There's something called confession. Amen? There's something called repentance. This is a coming to God where we say, God, I know this is wrong. Help me. I can't do this on my own. Help me to overcome my weakness. That's what you do when you're struggling with sin. Amen? You don't run away from God. You don't justify. You don't go find a preacher that's going to tell you you're okay. But you run to God and you say, I'm not okay and I need you to fix me. Amen? Because He's the only one who can. You can't fix yourself. You need Him. And He does fix us. It might not be as fast as we want, but He does fix us. So backslide from your backsliding. Amen? Now, 1 John chapter 1 talks about this too. The Apostle John agrees with Peter on a lot of these things. And he says this. He says, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. There's no sin in God. And if we're being told we can go sin, no. There's no darkness in Him. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. His blood will cleanse us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we go around and say, there is no sin, you're not sinning, you're a good person. God, Jesus died on the cross, everything's taken care of, there's no sin anymore. No. What it says in verse 9, if we, confess our sins, and you don't have to go to a priest, you can go right to Jesus, the high priest. You can go right to Him and confess your sin. Although it's good sometimes to confess our sins to one another. The Bible does encourage us to do that because then we become accountable and it helps us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from not the big stuff, but some of the little things. Right? What? Oh, sorry. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So false preachers and false prophets and false teachers, they don't confess their sins. They justify their sins. And they lead others into sin and justify them. And there's a special place in hell, especially for those false leaders who lead others into judgment. If you see this in a preacher, danger. We go on, verse 20, and it says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. I want you to notice how to escape the pollutions of the world. Now look at that verse, verse 20. Can somebody tell me how, according to that verse, how do you escape the pollutions of the world? Yes. Through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we escape the pollutions of the world. We grow in our knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that means two things. Okay, number one, that means knowing His Word and being in His Word, studying His Word, reading His Word, listening to His Word, hearing His Word preached, getting filled with Him, getting to know Him through His Word. Through that knowledge, we escape the corruptions and the pollutions of the world. It's been said, an idle mind is the devil's playground. And the problem is, too many of us are allowing our minds to be idle. We're not filling it with the right stuff. We're filling it with the wrong stuff. We're watching every video and TV show and filling our minds with that, or listening to music that's ungodly, and we're just filling our minds with the wrong stuff. Instead, if we fill it with the right stuff, then we will be walking in a much more, first of all, you'll be a lot more joyful. Jessica talked about joy. That's if we fill ourselves up with the Word, the Bible says that we will have joy in our lives. Gospel of John and the epistles of John talk about that, that your joy may be full. Amen? So, knowing the Word, but the other thing is having that relationship with Jesus, knowing Him as a person, knowing Him as a friend, knowing Him as your Lord, and having that relationship with Him, being a friend, talking to Him, spending time with Him. I love to spend time just with Jesus. I love taking my little 8-horse boat and go out to that tower way out in the middle of Lake Huron and just be with Jesus. Build that relationship with Him. You know, because I love Gene so much, because we are together so much, we do so much stuff together, we have fun together, we talk, we communicate, we have a relationship. And because of that, I just don't have interest in anybody else. Just not interested. Because I'm so wrapped up with her. And that's how we need to be with Jesus. That nothing else matters to us. We just want Him. So that's how we escape the corruptions and the pollutions of the world, through our knowledge of Jesus. When you love Jesus that way, the things of earth grow strangely dim. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Hallelujah. All right, let's wrap this up. So, you ever see a dog throw up and then begin to lick up his vomit? Is that not the grossest thing you've ever seen? It's so gross. So, in order to be kind to you, I decided I'm not going to show you a picture of it. Instead, I'll show you a picture of a nice, cute little puppy. How about that? But I did hear this morning that Jade licked up his vomit once as a dare when he was a kid. Pray for Jay. The effects are probably lifelong. But the scriptures say, but it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow or pig, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. And yet the Apostle Peter says that what we are doing when we turn back to our sins, this is what we're doing. We've gotten that gross thing out of our lives and we want to go back to it? Satan makes sin look so good, doesn't he? He makes it look so appetizing, doesn't he? Oh, that vomit really tastes good. You ought to have some. That's what sin is. We forget how horrible it makes us feel. We forget how sick it makes us. We forget how sin just wrecks our lives. So we need to backslide from backsliding. And those of you who aren't backslid, never backslide. So here's how I'm going to end today. I wonder if there's a lot of backsliding going on because we're just not hearing about how bad sin is anymore from the pulpits of America. And the lust and greed of too many preachers allows them to justify their own lust and greed and the lust and greed of their followers. So we got to have a little bit of Sunday school to wrap things up here. We're going to talk about, real quick, the Ten Commandments. Sunday school time. Ten Commandments. This is what sin is. People don't even know what sin is anymore. Okay, here we go. Here's what sin is, and here's what we need to turn away from, okay? Number one, And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. Boom. Number one, God is God, and he alone is God. You should not make a god of anything else, but this is more on the positive. You should be worshiping God. You need to be worshiping God. Okay? On the negative side of that is don't be worshiping idols. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. We are not to make idols of anything. And maybe today in our culture, we don't make wood and stone and gold and silver statues that we worship, but we do have idols. We have American idols. We have idols of celebrities, sports figures, preachers, prophets. We make idols. Money, sex, all kinds of things that we make idols of. And God says, don't do it. There's only one God that we are to worship. Don't make idols. Thirdly, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, a lot of times we think this is swearing, you know, where God's name is used in like a swear word. And it could kind of mean that, but really what it means is God told me that you should marry me. God didn't tell him. That's using the Lord's name in vain. Are you with me? Do you see that? God told me that such and such is going to happen. God didn't tell him. You know, we, especially spirit-filled believers, we so easily use that. And I have to catch myself. I'm like, I got to watch out. If I'm going to say, well, God spoke to me and God told me that I need, you know, God told me our church needs to do this, I better be sure God told me, because otherwise I'm taking the Lord's name in vain. And so I have to catch myself and make sure, you know, is this just Pastor Joe saying, Pastor Joe thinking, or is it really God? Because he does speak and he does give direction. And then remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now this is the one of the... See, these are not the 10 suggestions. Or these are not the former commandments. They are the 10 commandments. They're still the commandments of the Lord. This one, however, in a sense, is modified for us as New Testament believers. Because the Sabbath, we often say Sunday's the Sabbath. It's not. The Sabbath is Friday night to Saturday night. Sunday is the Lord's Day. And the New Testament church worshiped on the Lord's Day because it's a new day. And I do a whole teaching on why we don't worship on the Sabbath, why we worship on Sundays, because it's a new day. It signifies the eighth day, which speaks of the new creation. And, of course, that's when Jesus rose from the dead, was on Sunday. And that's why it's called the Lord's Day and why believers worship. Now, the earliest believers were all Jews, so they probably honored the Sabbath and also the Lord's Day. But what this says to me is that we need to tithe our time to the Lord. We all know about tithing our money. Tithe means tenth. And so we know that we're supposed to give the first tenth of our increase to the Lord. If we want his blessing, if we want to honor him and thank him for our income, etc., and we need to give him a tenth. That's a biblical principle. It's not in the Mosaic law. It's a principle through the scriptures from Genesis all the way through. So that's a principle, but we also need to tithe our time. But it's not one-tenth of our time, it's one-seventh of our time. Now, God says rest. So, you need to be given 24 hours to the Lord, And guess what? You can have 8 or 10 or whatever hours of rest. So we'll give you that to sleep. The rest of the time should be devoted to the Lord. It should be to read His Word, to pray, go to church, be in Bible study, be in fellowship. You ought to be given 14, 15, 16 hours a week to the things of the Lord. You need to be tithing. That's an honoring of the Sabbath. Are you with me? I believe this is something that a lot of Christians are missing out on. They're failing and they're falling and they're sinning because they're not giving their time to the Lord that they should be giving. Give your time to the Lord and He'll bless the other 6 days, the other 6 times 24 hours. Amen? And also it says how don't make your servants do this. Now, again, Sunday is not the Sabbath, it's the Lord's Day, but I remember a day, how many of you remember the day when everything was closed on Sundays? And you had to spend time with your family. And you had to hang around and do nothing. Oh, I miss those days. But, you know, that was an honoring of the Sabbath principle in our culture, and we don't honor that anymore. But I do appreciate, you know, the businesses that do take Sundays off. And I like to support them the other 6 days. And at the same time, I try not to. I'm not legalistic about it, but I try not to have to make anybody else work on a Sunday as well. I'm not going to do my shopping for fun or whatever. I try to make it so that people don't have to work. Of course, my one life is not going to make a whole lot of difference, but I feel like I'm fulfilling the Sabbath principle, and there's a principle here. Go to church, by the way. I'm talking to online people that don't go. And if you can't, watch the whole service. Be a part. But there was a pastor that didn't want to go to church, another one. He called his associate and said, I'm not feeling too well today. Can you take over the service? And associate pastor said, sure. So what the pastor wanted to do actually was to play golf. So he was all happy, got out on the links, nobody, you know, it was pretty quiet, not a lot of people out there, and gets up to the first tee, and he lines it up, and it's a par five, and so he gets it, he smacks the thing, and all of a sudden this gust of wind comes out of nowhere, takes the ball, literally turns it because he was slicing it, but the ball turned and dropped right in the cup. And up in heaven there was an angel. And he's watching this, and he turns to God, and he said, why did you do that? He's skipping church. Why did you let him get a hole-in-one like that? And God said, who's he going to tell? All right. And then the next few. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. We need to honor our parents. We need to love our parents. Even when they're not perfect, you need to love your parents. You need to honor them. There is no perfect parent, and yet we have to honor them. God says there's a blessing that comes along with honoring your parents. There's a spirit of rebellion that has been here around since the 60s and before that. But there's such a spirit of rebellion against parenthood and against adults and older people. And parents, listen, this is a word to you. You need to teach your children to honor you. It doesn't come naturally to them. You need to teach them. Gene and I told our kids, you will never hit us, ever. And you will never speak in a bad way towards your mother and I, or you're in big trouble. So you got to teach your kids to honor you. And honor your spouse. You shall not murder. We murder thousands every day. Little babies that have no defense. That's why you need to do the walk. We have forms in the back. The Walk for Life, September 11th. Raise money for Sparrow Pregnancy Center. But you shall not murder. That's very clear. But we're not supposed to. You shall not commit adultery. Again, everybody's committing adultery. Adultery is just a way of life for Christians. Adultery is sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman. Marriage, covenant between one man, one woman. Anything else is adultery. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's going to be judged. Only Noah and his eight made it through the judgment. The whole world was sinning. Didn't stop God. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. Oh, I'm good on that one. I don't rob any banks. He's not talking about robbing banks. But you know what? So many of us steal, and we're not even conscious of it a lot of times. How about those times when the cashier gives you a little bit too much change, and you're thinking, hallelujah, God just blessed me. No, God didn't just bless you. You just stole some money. There's a story I tell about a new pastor in town, and he went on the bus, and he gave his bus fare, and the bus driver gave him change, but it was when he sat down, he realized it was more change than he was supposed to get. And, you know, it's just 50 cents or something, but it really kind of bothered him, and he thought, you know, should I bring him? No, it's just 50 cents. I don't know. He probably doesn't even care. And he wrestled with it, you know, for the whole bus ride, and came to his stop, and he finally decided, I'm going to give this change back to the bus driver. So on his way out, he said, I'm sorry, I'm a new pastor in town here, and I just like to be honest about things. And I know it might not seem like a lot, but you gave me a little bit too much change, so I wanted to give it back to you. And the bus driver said, I know you're the new pastor in town. I was just testing you. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That means lying about your neighbor. That means gossiping. That means speaking negative things that aren't true about them. You don't bear false witness. And obviously in the setting of court, that's where this really applies. But one more, and this is the one so many of us fall into. This is the one I have to catch myself on. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor his Boston Whaler, nor anything that is your neighbor's. You shall not covet. And I read this last week, Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We have Jesus. We have God. And that's more than anything else. That's more than the richest person in the world without Jesus. So church, unless we begin to hear the commandments of God from the pulpits of America, we need to pray, and we're doing this every night, every morning. We're praying that the commandments of God be taught once again in the churches across America. Amen? And believer, what are you doing going back to your sins? Why would you go back to your sins? Oh, I could absolutely terrify you even more with what Scripture says about making room for sin in our lives after we have cleaned it out. But let's do what the Apostle John said to do. When we sin, let's not say we didn't sin. Let's confess our sin before God. Let's ask Him to cleanse us and to forgive us of that sin. And come to Him humbly before Him every time, to be humble before Him. God appreciates that. You know, Psalm 51 talks about, let me read it to you. I didn't have it this morning, but it's so relevant. Would you stand, please, if you can? Psalm 51 is a great psalm to read. If you have ever failed in some way and you've fallen in some way, David did. He fell, and he wrote this psalm in response. And listen to what he says. In verse 16, he says, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. When our hearts are broken over our own sins, that's a sacrifice that God appreciates. That's something that touches His heart. When we come before Him broken and we say, God, we failed, we're weak, we keep failing, we're good. Lord, help me, God. Instead of coming, oh God, you made me this way. Why am I this way? Now, come humbly before Him. Father, I pray that right now, our hearts would be soft before you, God. And Lord, that this day, this August 22nd, 2021, would be a day when we just say, God, we confess our sins to you. And Lord, we ask you to cleanse us. Lord, transform us, change us, sanctify us, Lord God. Lord, we know we're sanctified in your eyes, but Lord, let the sanctification be manifest in our lives more and more, God. Help us to grow. Help us to grow up. Help us to overcome old habits and old ways and sinful ways. Lord, we need you. We need you, God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. That when we confess our sins, Lord, the blood washes them away. And listen to me, believer. When you confess the sin to Jesus and you let his blood wash it away, it's gone. Don't start bringing it back. Don't let the devil keep reminding you of it. I love that old phrase that says, every time the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that he removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. And he buries them in the depths of the deepest sea. When you confess your sins, it's gone, it's over. Leave it and move forward. Amen? And rejoice in the Lord for his grace. But I might fall again. Stop that. Would you just move forward in the Lord?
Amen.
Okay? You know, don't be saying, I'm a failure, I'm weak, I'm this and that. In the humble way, yes, we recognize our need for God. But don't be yielding to Satan's lies about you. The Holy Spirit lives inside you, and he can help you, and he will help you. So, Father, help us today to walk in that victory and walk humbly before you. And as we sing this closing song, I encourage you, come spend some moments at the altar. And if you need to confess anything to Jesus, just directly to him, you do it. You just spend some time. If there's an area of struggle or weakness in your life, just come and bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to come and just help me and strengthen me and help me to be that overcomer. And if you're dealing with condemnation and just the past all the time, just say, Lord, come and say, Lord, just wash that away from me, Lord, and help me to look forward and to look to you and turn my eyes upon you, Jesus. So as we sing, let's do that. Let's spend some time at the altars. And those of you online, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus or anybody in here, it's as simple as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. We've been talking about that all day. Admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that he paid for your sins, and that he forgives. And C, confess Jesus as your Lord. Say, Jesus, you're my Lord. ABC, that's how simple it is. And if you do that today, just in your own way, admit you're a sinner, believe in Jesus, that he's alive, that he's died for you, and he's alive, and confess him as your Lord to say, Jesus, you are my Lord right now. From now on, you will be saved. And let us know about it. Or if you have any questions, send us a comment or a personal message, or go to our contact form on our website at PortHuronAssembly.com. And those of you who are here, if you're doing that for the first time, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love if you'd tell me, and I'll pray with you and just keep praying for you. So let's come to these altars. Go ahead, worship team. Let's sing.